last talk. It's a pleasure for me to introduce my roommate at the Institute, Dino Nikolov, from Sofia University, who is going to speak to Markov type inequalities and extreme zeros of orthogonal polynomials.
Thank you. So let me start with thanking the organizers for inviting me to participate in this program and also to give a talk. I feel indebted even more as this last talk on this workshop on multidimensional problems on high dimensions, we will end up with a talk which is dedicated to a purely one-dimensional problem. So my talk will be on Markov type inequalities, and more precisely I'll be talking about Markov type inequalities in L2 norms, and mostly on L2 norms induced by the weight functions of Gegenbauer and Laguerre.
But the degree should be big in any
case. The degree of polynomial is bigger, yes. So what have the extreme zeros of orthogonal polynomials do with the Markov type inequalities? Well, I'll be interested in the sharp constants in Markov type inequalities, and it turns out that these sharp constants are closely related under some assumptions to the extreme zeros of orthogonal polynomials. So here is the outline of my talk. I'll start with a short introduction to the inequality of brothers Markov, and then we'll switch to Markov type inequalities in L2 norms, presenting some old and some recent results. Most of the results I'll present are obtained jointly with Alexei Shadrin. Then I'll present a general theorem which relates the norm of a linear operator in Hilbert space and the extreme zeros of some orthogonal polynomials, and the assumptions under which this theorem holds are satisfied in particular for the Markov type inequalities in L2 norms with the Gegenbauer and Laguerre weights, and also the last part of my talk I'll point out to another Markov type inequality in which case this relation between the sharp Markov constant and the extreme zero of orthogonal polynomials is satisfied. So let me start with the beginning of the impetus of Markov inequalities, and it naturally starts with the result of Markov. It was Andrei Andreevich Markov who proved in 1889 that if we have a polynomial, this notation stands for algebraic polynomials of degree at most n with real coefficients. So if we have a polynomial f of degree at most n, then its derivative has uniform norm in the interval minus 1, 1, which is bounded by n times the uniform norm of the polynomial itself. So
n square.
So this result was inspired by a question asked by another famous person. It was the Russian chemist Dmitry Ivanovich Mendeleev, who asked a question, how large can the coefficients of a second degree polynomial, how large can these coefficients be if we know that its deviation, uniform deviation from zero is given? So Markov answered this question by proving this result, including also answer to Mendeleev, but Mendeleev found the answer to his question himself. And 3 years later, Vladimir Andreevich Markov, the kid brother of Andrei Andreevich, extended this result to higher-order derivatives, proving that the norm of Kf derivative, the uniform norm in minus 1, 1, is bounded by this coefficient times the norm of polynomial, and Tn stands to for the famous Chebyshev polynomial, nth Chebyshev polynomial of the first kind. So this is, in both cases, so we have sharp inequalities, and the extreme polynomial is the Chebyshev polynomial, the nth Chebyshev polynomial of the first kind. So here is a useful source for those who are interested in the history of this Markov inequality, or inequality of the brothers Markov, in uniform norm, including 12 proofs, 12 different proofs, as Alexei wrote, to satisfy any test, short, long, complex, meaning using complex analysis, incomplete, and even erroneous. So, talking about Markov type inequalities, let me mention that in 1937, Hughes, Segio, and Tamarkin studied Markov type inequalities in unweighted LP minus 1, 1 norm, proving that they hold with some constants which grow as n tends to infinity, like n squared. And the reason we call inequality of this type Markov-Bernstein type inequality is the next inequality, which relates the norm of the first derivative of a polynomial on the LP norm on the boundary of the unit disk in the complex plane, and the norm of polynomial. Here we have a sharp constant n, and this inequality holds for p greater than 0, so it's called usually Bernstein inequality, but it should be said that Bernstein initially proved this inequality not with n, but with 2n here. And the first proof with the sharp constant n was given by Marcel Ritz. This can be found in a paper of Paul Nevai from 2014 in Journal of Approximation Theory. So then Ritz extended this result for p greater than 1 and less than infinity using his famous interpolation formula. And Vitaly Aristov settled the case when p is between 0 and 1. So here is a definition of what we mean by Markov or Markov-Bernstein type inequality. Given some norm, we want to estimate the norm of the derivative of polynomial of degree at most n by the norm of polynomial itself. So we allow this polynomial to be with real or with complex coefficients. So what are the goals we pursue when studying a Markov type inequality? Of course, the most ambitious one is to find the sharp constant in this inequality, that is the supremum of the ratio of the norms when p traces the set of all polynomials of degree at most n. But this is very challenging, but also very difficult task. So the sharp Markov constant is known only in some exceptional cases. So what can we do then? We may look for tight two-sided bounds for this sharp Markov constant. So of course, upper bounds are more important, as with any larger than the sharp constant, we may state Markov type inequalities, but also lower bounds are important, as they tell us how close we are to the sharp constant. And naturally sharp Markov constants increase as n increases. So in some cases it's of interest to know how fast they increase with n to find the correct order of Markov constants here. I assume that it's n to the power gamma. And if we know this order gamma, a next task would be to find the asymptotic Markov constants. That's the limit of the ratio of Cn and n to the gamma as n tends to infinity. Well, in some other cases, this constant depends on some other parameters. For instance, in the L2 inequalities associated with Gegenbauer and Laguerre waves, they depend also on an additional parameter. So it's also desirable to know how this constant depend on these parameters, in particular, what happens when these parameters go to the limiting admissible values. Now, we have a very simple characterization of the sharp Markov constant when we are in a Hilbert space and the norm is induced by the inner product in this space. So the sharp Markov constant is equal to the largest singular value of a certain matrix, here denoted by A. So this is this quantity, or this is the second matrix norm, or the subordinated to the Euclidean norm, matrix norm. So here B n is A transpose A. But this is also difficult to obtain. So we look for some other ways to estimate the sharp Markov constant. And for upper bounds, we may use the fact that every eigenvalue is bounded in absolute value by any matrix norm. And we can use some norms which are easier to evaluate. For instance, we can use the infinity norm, which is the same as the first norm, since we have here symmetric matrix, or the Frobenius norm. So these norms are easier to evaluate, or at least to estimate. And for the lower bounds, we may use the fact that the largest eigenvalue of a symmetric matrix is larger than or equal to the largest entry on the main diagonal of the matrix. This is a consequence of the Rayleigh-Ritz theorem. And also another bound is given by the ratio of the squared Frobenius norm and the trace of the matrix. So this is simply the sum of the squared eigenvalues of B and the sum of the eigenvalues. It's a particular case of a more general technique, which I'll explain later. So even in the autonorms induced by the classical weight functions of Jacobi, in particular in Gegenbauer and Laguerre, the sharp Markov constants are known only in some exceptional cases. So let me say the first one, in which is a trivial one, is the case of the Hermite weight function. In this case, we know the sharp constant, which is square root of 2 times n, and we know the extreme polynomial, which is the nth Hermite polynomial, and this extremality persists also for the Markov type inequality for the higher order derivatives. Regarding the Laguerre case, where we have this weight, x to the alpha, e to the minus x, on the positive semi-axis, the sharp Markov constant is known only when alpha is equal to 0, and this is a result of Paul Turan from 1960, who found this expression for the sharp constant. In 1991, Peter Dörfler proved two sided estimates for the sharp Markov constant. for general alpha greater than minus 1, which are given here. And these two-sided estimates show that the behavior of this sharp Markov constant is big O of n as n tends to infinity. So in the Gegenbauer case, or ultraspherical, 1 minus x squared to lambda minus 1 half in minus 1, 1. The first result concerns the case of constant weight function, the Legendre case, and it's due to Erhard Schmidt, who proved in 1944 that with some quantity between, some constant between minus 6 and 13, we have this representation of the sharp Markov constant, which in particular implies that the asymptotic Markov constant in here in this case is equal to 1 over pi. And there are some other estimates, upper bounds for the sharp Markov constant in the Gegenbauer case, obtained by Droh and Elhami in 1991, who proved these estimates, which are different when depending on the parity of n. And we, without knowing this result, we reproduced these bounds, showing in addition that the extreme polynomial in the Markov inequality with the Gegenbauer weight is even or odd, depending on whether n is even or odd. Now let me show you some recent results. Here we denote the L2 norm induced by the Laguerre, general Laguerre function this way. We proved with Alexei the following two-sided estimates for the sharp Markov constant, for the squared sharp Markov constant in the Laguerre case. You can see from this estimate that we have identified the sharp Markov constant within a factor of square root of 6, which is less than 2.5. So we have two-sided bounds with a ratio less than 2.5. But this is true for alpha greater than or equal to 2. Regarding, I'll turn back to the case when alpha is close to minus 1, to the limit value, but let me say first that we also obtained the asymptotic behavior of the sharp Markov constant in this case, as alpha tends to minus 1. So this limit here is equal to n times n plus 1 over 2. So we know how this constant behaves when alpha tends to minus 1. In the Gegenbauer case, we set this notation for the norm, the L2 norm, and this lambdas prime and second prime for the minimum and the maximum of 0 and lambda. So we proved again two-sided bounds for the sharp Markov constant in this case. And they obtained, we have two pairs of two-sided bounds. The first one, the upper bound here, is valid only for lambda greater than or equal to 2, and it is obtained by norm estimation of the infinity norm of the associated symmetric matrix. While this bound here, upper bound, is obtained by estimating the Frobenius norm of the associated symmetric matrix. As to the lower bounds, this one is the sharper one for all values of lambda. This one is put here just to show that when lambda is fixed and n tends to infinity, we have here ratio approximately 4, meaning that again the sharp Markov constant has been identified within a factor of 2. Here we have no, okay, we have the correct order with respect to n. Cn of lambda is big O of n squared as n tends to infinity, but we do not have a matching of lambda as lambda tends to infinity, but we can do that with at the expense of slight worsening the constants. So we have this equivalence showing that the sharp Markov constant, the square sharp Markov constant, is asymptotically equivalent to this expression. So this calls for lambda greater than or equal to 7. And regarding the limit behavior of the sharp Markov constant as lambda tends to the limit limiting admissible value, we have these two sided inequalities. So before I go to the next presenting the theorem relating the sharp Markov constant and the extreme zeros of associated orthogonal polynomials, let me say that we have order n to 1 half n and n squared for the sharp Markov constants in these three cases. So they grow as n to these powers as n tends to infinity. I'm pointing out to this because in the last part of my talk I'll present inequality in which the sharp Markov constant is bounded uniformly with respect to n. So it does, well, it depends on n, but it does not, it's bounded. So regarding the asymptotic Markov constants in the case of Laguerre and Gegenbauer, we have this formula here. J sub nu is the first positive zero of the Bessel function. So inequalities we have, the inequalities we have for the Markov constants, sharp Markov constants, imply also some inequalities for this first zero of the Bessel function. And for some values of parameters, we have better bounds than the bounds for the Bessel, this zero known in the literature. So this result was obtained by Aptekarev, Droy and Kalyagin in 2000. And it was rediscovered in the Laguerre case by Dörfler in 2002. And Böttcher and Dörfler also obtained this result in 2010 by different approach. So the relation of the sharp Markov inequalities with the extreme zeros of orthogonal polynomials. So let me remind you that we have this relation between the square sharp Markov constant and the largest eigenvalue of a certain matrix or largest singular value of this matrix. So Teresa Perez in her PhD thesis from the University of Granada 1994 showed that when we consider L2 norms induced by the Laguerre and Gegenbauer weight functions, the inverse of this matrix is a Jacobi matrix, is three-diagonal symmetric matrix. And this was, this fact is included in the book of Milovanovic, Mitrinovic and Rashes and used by some other authors to study, for instance, some Sobolev inner products and also to estimate the sharp Markov constants. But we wanted to find out what is hidden behind this fact? What conditions secure this property that the inverse of this matrix is a Jacobi matrix? So with Alexei we found general conditions which relate the norm of a linear operator with the smallest eigenvalue of a positive definite Jacobi matrix. So assume we have a Hilbert space, an orthogonal system there. This you may think these are polynomials, but they are not necessarily polynomials. We denote by H the norms of the elements of this orthogonal system, and by pi sub n the span of the first n plus 1 elements in this orthogonal system. So we want to find a sharp constant Cn of L, which is the norm of this operator acting from pi sub n to pi sub n, which is given here. And we have the following theorem. It's a little long formulation. We have a linear operator which vanishes on this subspace, or this condition is ignored when k is equal to zero. And the assumptions on this operator is that we have non-zero sequences, sequences of with non-zero real elements, alphas and betas, so that the action of L on the nth orthogonal element is given by this formula. So we have, so to say, separation of the variables. Here we can put beta in front of the sum, and also we have the same coefficients here. For all m, I mean they up to m minus k. Then for every n greater than k, the reciprocal of the squared sharp constant, this quantity, is equal to the smallest eigenvalue of either of two positive definite Jacobi matrices, which are denoted by J and tilde J, which are of the following form, okay, and their elements are given in terms of the alphas, betas, and the edges. So they are different, they are not important, but we can evaluate them and there is a difference between these Jacobi matrices. They are similar, so they have the same eigenvalues, but the sequence of tilde j's, here we have embedded matrices, so their characteristic polynomials satisfy three-term recurrence relation. So by Favart's theorem, they form a system of orthogonal polynomials. So we have the following consequence, or so we can express the reciprocal of the sharp constant here as the smallest zero of the n minus k plus first polynomial, which is obtained by this recurrence with the coefficient given in the previous slide. So we have two different sequences of Jacobi matrices, and in one case we have embedding, and we can characterize these constants with the smallest zero of orthogonal polynomials. In the other case, it turns out that it's advantageous to work with when we apply simple tools from linear algebra, as Gersgorin's circle theorem, to estimate these eigenvalues. So in the Laugier case, We have this with L, this assumption is satisfied when with k equal to 1, when L is the differentiation operator here, and pi is the set of algebraic polynomials, because in this case we have the orthogonal system formed by the Laguerre polynomials, and they satisfy this property. Their derivatives are expressed this way, so we have this representation with beta equal to minus 1 and all alphas equal to 1. So this allows to characterize the sharp constant in the Markov type inequality with the Laguerre weight, with the smallest eigenvalue of a Jacobian matrix, and to finally obtain the following result. We obtain this upper bounds for the squared sharp constant, which are different depending on how large is alpha, but they are true only for alpha positive. But what is important here is that this inequality is asymptotically sharp as alpha tends to infinity, as we have this limit relation. So this estimate is asymptotically sharp.
Here n is fixed.
Sorry?
N is fixed here.
N is fixed and alpha tends to infinity. So we have also behavior of the sharp Markov constant in this Laguerre case as alpha tends to infinity. And we have a similar result in the Gegenbauer case, but here the assumption is not satisfied completely, meaning we require that these coefficients here are non-zero, but here we have half of coefficients equal to zero. But this is not a problem, as we know that the extreme polynomial in this case is odd or even depending on the parity of n. So we can write the extreme polynomial in only in half of ultraspherical polynomials and apply the same results, so to find finally the same characterization of the sharp Markov constant, and we obtain Jacobian matrix. And when applying the Gershgorin circle theorem to this matrix, we get this result, this upper bound for the sharp Markov constant, where, well, this result holds only for lambda greater than 1, and this inequality is asymptotically sharp, as we have this limit relation. And you can see that if we take cn squared of lambda divided by lambda in this inequality and let lambda tend to infinity, we'll get exactly the same inequality. So we have asymptotically sharp estimate in this case. Now, concerning the other characterization of the sharp Markov constant as a zero of orthogonal polynomials with respect to measures supported on the positive semi-axis. So we have orthogonal polynomials, we know the recurrence relation, so we can compute the coefficients of these polynomials. And how can we estimate the smallest zero of such a polynomial? This can be done with an old method which is attributed to Euler and to Rayleigh, and it was originally used for estimation of the zeros of the Bessel function or similar functions. So let me in brief explain how this method is applied to polynomial case. So if we have a polynomial, monic polynomial with zeros xi, we can evaluate the power sums, the sums of the power of the zeros denoted by p sub k in terms of the coefficients of the polynomials using the Newton identities written here. So we have the first five expressions given here. And if we set L sub k of p to be the ratio of the k power sum and k minus first power sum, and u sub k of p to be the k power sum to power 1 over k. So we can use these quantities to estimate the largest zero of a polynomial with positive zeros using the following proposition. If we get such a polynomial, then its largest zero is bounded from below by L sub k and from above by U sub k. In the simplest case, this says that the largest zero of a polynomial with positive zeros is greater than the average of all zeros and is less than the sum of the zeros. This is the simplest case. But what is more important here is that these sequences are monotone. They are monotone increasing for the L's and the monotone decreasing for the U's, and then tend to the largest zero of the polynomial as k tends to infinity. So we can estimate this largest zero as sharp as we want if we are willing to evaluate many of the power sums using the coefficients of the polynomials. And we can use this applying the recurrence coefficients and to the reciprocal polynomial, actually. So we get, applying this Euler-Rayleigh method with my colleague from the Department of Mathematics of Sofia University, we used some computer algebra to apply this proposition with k from 3 up to 6, and in the Laguerre case we obtained two-sided bounds for the sharp constant which read as follows. This is for the case with 3 coefficients, with 4 coefficients, 5, 6. There are, these formulas are not important, but they are with increasing sharpness. The same approach is more difficult to apply to the Gegenbauer case, but with my doctoral student Dragomir Alexov, we proved also two-sided estimates for the sharp Markov constant, which look different for the cases of even and odd n, and these estimates are very sharp for small lambdas. So now let me switch to the last part of my talk. It will be another instance of application of this theorem relating the extreme zero of orthogonal polynomial with the sharp constant in a Markov type inequality. This time we consider the small L2 norm induced by the Meissner inner product. We have two parameters, beta, which is positive, and C, which is in the open interval 0, 1, and we define the inner product this way. Here this is the usual notation for the Forchheimer symbol. The norm is the square root of the inner product of F with itself. So here we have a inner product orthogonality with respect to measure which is supported on the non-negative integers. So what is the natural substitute for the derivative here? It is the forward difference or shift operator, which is denoted by delta with step 1. So this is what we replace with the derivative. And the Markov-Bernstein inequality in this case will look like this. So we want to estimate this operator, the norm of this operator, with the norm of the polynomial. And want to know what is the behavior of the sharp Markov constant here? This sharp Markov constant depends on three parameters, n, the degree of polynomials, beta, and c. So for this constant, we proved with my colleague Dmitry Dimitrov from the State University of Sao Paulo the following. First, we proved that in the case beta equal to 1, these sharp Markov constants are bounded by 1 plus 1 over square root of c for every c in 0, 1. Moreover, we have in limit that this constant tends to this quantity. So to say, this is the asymptotic Markov constant in this case. And for the general case, we prove that when n and c are fixed, this constant is monotonically decreasing function of beta. And the last part is that if either beta is greater than 1 and c is fixed, or c is positive less than beta less than 1, then we can find a constant depending only on c and beta such that all sharp Markov constants are bounded by this c for all n. So we have a discrete Markov-Bernstein type inequality. For two reasons, we have discrete norm. The integral is replaced by a sum, and the derivative is replaced by the forward difference operator, and we observe this untypical phenomenon that the sharp Markov constants are uniformly bounded with respect to R. Well, here I should point out that this is not obtained for all admissible values of beta and c. So, if you remember, c is in 0, 1 and beta is positive, so we have this phenomenon in this region, and we don't know what's going on here. Most probably, this phenomenon does not persist in this triangle, but we don't know for sure. And we have the same characterization as in this case. If we consider the orthogonal polynomials with respect to this inner product, these are Maxner polynomials, which are expressed by a hypergeometric function this way. So they satisfy this the so-called separation of variables property. If we consider the orthonormed Maxner polynomial, the forward difference operator applied to these polynomials is equal to this expression, and we see that we have the same alphas here, and we have here a quantity depending on the degree m. Here the coefficient alpha given here. So we can apply the theorem and to obtain a characterization of this sharp Markov constant here to relate it to the smallest eigenvalues of Jacobi matrices, and the result is given here. We have this representation of the sharp Markov constant with lambda here being the smallest eigenvalue of either of two matrices which are given here, and they are not in the explicit form, is not important. The second one is of the same shape, so we can embed them. We have also characterization of this sharp Markov constant with zeros of polynomials, orthogonal polynomials, which depend on beta and c. So just few words about the proof, we consider the simplest case when beta is equal to c, then by change of variables we can find a characteristic polynomial, in this case that it is simply a linear combination of two consecutive Chebyshev polynomials of second kind, and then to estimate the smallest zero of this linear combination and to finally obtain part I, the first part of the theorem. And then the second part is consequence of this proposition about monotonicity of lambda with respect to parameter beta, and this is made by use of two very powerful theorems in the theory of orthogonal polynomials. The first one is the Hellman-Feynman theorem on the derivatives of eigenvalues of a Hermitian matrix with respect to parameter, which says in its simplest form that if we have a symmetric matrix with entries that depend on parameters and they are differentiable, if the matrix obtained by element-wise differentiation is positive definite, then every eigenvalue is a monotone increasing function of this parameter. And in our case we have three diagonal matrix, so we need to see whether a three diagonal matrix is positive definite, and we used the Wohl-Wetzel criterion for positive definiteness of three diagonal matrices, which is characterized the positive definite matrices with the so-called chain sequences. I'm not going to go into details, and this part 1 and 2 imply the monotone dependence, the uniform boundedness of this sharp Markov constant. So, as we proved this Markov inequality for the Mechner discrete norm, it's natural to expect that this inequality actually holds for sequences, and this is indeed so. If we take C in the open interval 0, 1 and denote by L to C the Hilbert space of sequences for which this sum is finite, and we denote the norm this way, and set delta F to be the variance of this sequence, so we have this statement, we have this inequality which holds for sequences from this Hilbert space, and this constant is sharp. Okay, we can also extend slightly this result by introducing a slightly more general norm, and we have the same result. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
A lot of work in 2019.
Wow, they.
Are there any questions? Yeah?
I just, maybe naive or just stupid question. Does it make sense to consider normal derivative with discrete norms? Because you consider derivative and continuous norms, right, and measures, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
then
just finite differences and the discrete measures. But what about the mixture? I mean, at least derivative and discrete measure.
Okay, we haven't considered different norms, of the derivative and the polynomial. But there are such works in which constants are examined where you have different norms on the left hand or on the right hand side of the inequality. But well, for the classical weight functions, you can adjust the weights on the left hand or the right hand side, so to have trivial problem. Using the fact that, for instance, derivatives of classical orthogonal polynomials are also orthogonal polynomials within the same class, but just with shifted parameters. For instance, Gegenbauer, derivative of Gegenbauer polynomials with parameter lambda is lower degree Gegenbauer polynomial with parameter lambda plus 1. so we can adjust the weights to have a trivial problem. But no, I haven't considered such kind of inequalities.
Any other question? Well, if not, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.